as a youth, I was a member, of course, of the Zionist Youth Movement. And in the Zionist Youth Movement, there was a chorus, a choir, and naturally I wanted to be part of it, and I was. And one evening, the conductor didn't like what he was hearing, and he started to listen, and then he pointed his finger at me and said, "You shut up."
So it was not a great success.
No, but it was a social event, and I wasn't going to let the conductor tell me what to do, so I went to the back row where he wouldn't see me, and I continued to sing. But I certainly will not sing for posterity. There's a 10 or 12 lectures on Ramanujan's life and work. It's in the library, I'm sure it's in the library here at Rehovot.
And it was published.
Yeah, published by Oxford, and it's quite interesting. It tells how he first received some letters from this young Indian clerk and reproduces in the book the first letters with a series of formulas, and describes how he started to go through. This obscure clerk in India sent him a list of about 20 formulas, and he started, and the first one or two or three seemed quite easy, and then the next took him a day or two, and then the next seemed completely beyond him, and he couldn't imagine how Ramanujan even arrived at the formulas. One story I heard from him about himself was how the New Year's Eve party in Princeton, soon after he arrived at Princeton.
Yes.
He started explaining.
Yes.
Explaining his theory how he didn't believe in car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And taking out insurance with a car.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a probabilist, and he could assess the odds, and it was not worthwhile. And half an hour after he expounded this theory, the people at the party heard a crash outside, and it turned out that somebody ran into Feller's car, causing great damage, and causing a loss of several hundred dollars to Feller, just after he had explained how it was not worthwhile to take out insurance.
It was told to you, or were you
there? No. This was when he first came to Princeton in 1950-something.
Yeah, yeah.
50 or 52 or something like that. No, he told the story. I heard
he told
it. Yeah, I heard him tell the story. He also had... When I was at Princeton, they began coming out with the Surgeon General's report on connections between cancer and smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And he had very little use for it.
Mm-hmm.
For most of those reports. Was fond of telling the story of how careful you had to be in statistics in being certain that you were measuring something that was there. His favorite story that he told was how during the Second World War there was a group of statisticians that the army had at their disposal, and the army decided to make studies and try to improve the quality of food
mm-hmm.
that the soldiers were getting. And so they ran surveys to find out what the soldiers preferred. So they ran surveys and discovered that the soldiers preferred string beans. And so they gave them string beans, and then they ran surveys and discovered that the soldiers preferred something else. And they ran lots of surveys and every time came out with different results. And then they sat down and tried to figure out what was going on until somebody decided that they were trying to measure something, namely the preference of soldiers, that wasn't there because it's not well defined. You ask somebody today or tomorrow, The opinion polls were very often were the same. That's no use for them to.
Yes. And is academic life in Jerusalem similar to academic life in American, at American universities, or essentially different?
It's academic life at American universities is not uniform. It's quite different at the universities which are located in the large cities like Columbia or NYU, where most of the people live scattered in many parts of the city, and I don't think there's as much social contact among the faculty. And in towns such as Princeton or Ithaca, Cornell or Stanford, and Palo Alto, where the communities are, it's a college town, there's quite a different atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Princeton is located in a small town, and half of the town is occupied by the university. It's a university town. The life in the town centers around the university. This cultural life centers around the university. Jerusalem is quite different in that respect. Jerusalem is it's a larger city, and it's a cosmopolitan city with the university, but also the government, and also many other groups, foreign diplomats. And I think in Jerusalem there are dozens of circles of people, each moving in their own orbit, not intersecting, hardly intersecting.
At Berkeley or at Columbia University?
Well, Berkeley is not in a large city. Berkeley is in...
But it is very close to San Francisco.
Yeah, but most of the people don't live in San Francisco. Practically everybody lives at Berkeley. It's more of the nature of a university town.
But you know also New York universities.
Yes.
And they are different.
They're different, I think. NYU, the Courant Institute, the Columbia,